stepping into year two, I was running at a pace that was unsustainable. And I think what happened was I ended up having a heart attack due to stress at 34 years old.
Hello, welcome to episode 150 of the Smart Agents Podcast. As always, my name is Michael Walter and I'll be your host. In today's episode, we are joined by Denver-based real estate professional and coach Sergio Nazzaro. After ending his military career, Sergio eventually found his way into real estate and earned Rookie of the Year status with 31 transactions. But as he was achieving such great business success, other aspects of his life were falling apart, culminating in a heart attack at the age of 34. That wake-up call caused Sergio to really take stock of what he wanted in life and set boundaries. Throughout our conversations, you'll hear all about how Sergio gained such great real estate success, how setting those boundaries impacted his business, and his tips for agents struggling in the current market. But before we get on to today's featured interview, make sure to subscribe to the Smart Agents Podcast. You can find the show on all major podcasting platforms such as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and now Amazon Music. Also, if you or someone else on your team has an incredible story or real estate tips to share with our community, send us a message at feedback@smartagents.com. We're always on the lookout for new stories to share. All right, let's get on to today's featured interview with Sergio Nazzaro. If you're interested in hearing more, I've included links to his social media platforms and his newsletter, Become the Standard. Really, the way I like to start everything out is if you could just introduce yourself to us a little bit, who you are and where you're at in the country.
Yeah, my name is Sergio Nazzaro. I'm out here in Denver, Colorado, and I am an entrepreneur, both as a real estate agent, and then I've just recently started my own coaching company after watching people go through the different struggles of trying to be an entrepreneur. And so I'm in a great season of life right now, and I'm in a great time out here in Denver because it is nice in the summertime.
Yeah, no kidding. I just had one of my cousin's just moved out to Denver from Orlando, and she's absolutely loving it already, like, you know, trying to check out as many of the different hikes and all that kind of stuff that she can.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about your entry into real estate and a little bit about your, you know, your backstory, because it's very interesting.
Yeah, listen, I had no intent of getting into real estate. And the only reason I got in was I had separated from the military and I was going back to get my MBA. And the military was paying for it. And so part of that is that they give you a housing allowance to pay for your rent wherever you're living. But if you're not enrolled in a class, they won't give you any money. So my roommate at the time convinced me to go get my real estate license because I had a 3-week break between my summer and my fall semester. I was like, well, I need the money. So I might as well just go get this license. And I got it. And in the first like 6 months, I bought my first home and then I helped my parents buy a home. And I was like, cool, this is easy. And then nothing happened for a very long time. I actually went and got a whole other career before I got into real estate. And then one day I was just like, I'm tired of just answering to somebody. I want to go out on my own, not realizing that you're going to be answering to way more people once you get into real estate. But I made the decision after some heavy contemplation, and I ended up getting into real estate. And for the first 7 months, I didn't sell anything, not a single home. I mean, I was at the point where I was updating my resume, updating my LinkedIn, being like, oh shit, did I make the right decision? And at the time I got a coach. And from that point forward, this real estate career has been on a one-way path to the moon. And I've just been, you know, I think after 7 months of not selling a home, I got 2 homes under contract in 1 weekend, 3 the next, and then like 5 2 weeks later. And I was like, oh, I can do this. And so ever since then, it's kind of been, you know, a nice little career.
Yeah, absolutely. It's always so interesting, you know, talking with people that those, you know, like that first 6 months to a year, not having, you know, nothing coming in, and you're like right on the brink of bailing. And then once the floodgate opens, it seems like it really kicks off. What was it that kept you in it long enough to start seeing the success?
I think there's this commitment to myself that I wasn't going to quit. And so there is this story of like when I lived down in Texas, I was trying to play high school, or not even high school football. It was like football in fifth grade. And I had come to the party a little bit late, and I'm not the biggest guy. And so I started playing football against these guys who had played football for so long. And I ended up being like, this sucks. I'm going to quit. And I quit. And for whatever reason, that to this day was one of those things where I was like, I can't believe I just didn't see it out. And so I got to the point where I made a promise to myself that I was like, all right, I'm going to give this 2 years. And if after 2 years it doesn't work, then I'll make an adjustment. Now, it doesn't mean I wasn't thinking about quitting, but it was kind of what I had promised myself of what I was going to do.
Yeah. How, you know, with your military background, how much did that help with the discipline of making sure that you're doing everything every day to set yourself up for success, for lead generation, all those types of things?
Yeah, I think that's a great skill set that I've kind of carried over from the military. Is the ability to do the work when nobody else is watching, to do the work in the darkness simply to earn the opportunity to be in the light. And, you know, a lot of times when I was at the Air Force Academy or when I was at the military, we had to do things that obviously we didn't always want to do, but we knew there was a reason behind what we were doing, down to the smallest detail. And so I would always reflect back on being like, okay, listen, if I can simply just control what I can control, and not outwork everybody, because I don't know that that's what I was doing, but simply be more consistent than my counterparts, it's inevitable that I will be successful. And so I just convinced myself that if I go all in on this and I have no other options, and I think at the time I was like, there's that phrase, burn the boats. I was like, if I just burn the boats, like what happens? What if I don't have a plan B? And it was in that I really started to step into my own and things started to take off, because it was this really beautiful kind of relationship between this consistency and this patience, and they came together and then it just took off.
Right. What were you doing to, you know, get yourself in front of clients and you really start building up that, you know, that sphere and the lead generation that you were doing?
Yeah. Well, I thought that when you got into real estate, you had to call for sale by owners and expireds. And I was doing that for so long. And I was like, bro, if I keep doing this shit, I'm going to be out of this industry in less than 6 months. And so I finally found a coach and he showed me that there's multiple ways to do this. And the one that kind of hit me was like, just talk to the people that you know. And so I started to lean in on some of the stuff that I had done post-military, right? I was a personal trainer for a while. I helped start a CrossFit gym here in Colorado. And in that community of people, I knew a ton of people. So in my mind, I was like, well, I already have the relationships. I just have to bring some awareness to them that I'm doing this new career. I'm excited about it. I'm going to bring the same level of intensity and consistency that I brought in my coaching to coaching them to find a home. And once I was able to make that connection, then I was like, well, shit, I know a lot of people, which means I can make a lot of phone calls. So I stopped calling for sale by owners and expireds. And I simply just went through my phone and I started at A and went through Z every single month. And I would call people just to check in, see if they knew anybody that was looking to buy, sell, or invest in real estate that I could earn their business. And by month five, people were like, Sergio, I promise you, if we know somebody, we will send them to you. And then month seven is when they started sending them my way.
Yeah, absolutely. So you got involved with the coach prior to finding the success, and that coaching is what really kind of steered you towards reaching out to your sphere that you had personal connections with?
Yeah. I mean, I went to my 10-year reunion for the Air Force Academy, and one of my buddies, Jacoby, he was in real estate, and we started talking and he could hear like the desperation and uncomfort in my voice. He's like, dude, I'm going to this event in 3 weeks. You should come. I'm like, okay. So I went to the event with Kevin Ward. He's a great coach. And after that event, when I was like, okay, these things make sense. I can do it this way. Like the type of business this man is talking about building hits me right in the chest. I was like, and that started to allow me to really refine how I approach this business. And I've never called a for sale by owner expired since.
Yeah. What was it about, you know, that message that kind of, and I don't know if it was one of those things that maybe you didn't call those people that you had previous relationships with, because, you know, there's that imposter syndrome where if you don't have the business to back up, I know I've talked to a lot of people that they don't want to call their friends and family or their, you know, the people that are in their sphere until they have, you know, some deals behind them, because they feel like, oh, well, you probably already know an agent that has more success than I do.
Yeah. I mean, listen, one of the things that, somebody told me when I was quitting my job to go at this full time, he goes, good luck. The industry is already oversaturated. All you're going to be doing is baking cookies. And I was like, fuck you, dude. It was the first time I've almost been in a fight as an adult. I've never been in a fight. And I was like, okay, And then Kevin, I told that to Kevin and he goes, listen, in every industry, there's always room for the greatest. And I was like, okay. So there's this idea, it's like, if I want to be great at this, I have to figure out a way to talk to my friends. And though, even though I don't have any business behind me, what are the things that I can say that will help them see that I'm the path to getting what they want? And so there's two things that kind of came to mind. One was that I knew them and I cared about them. And simply having that relationship, like the first deal that I got, I had to convince my best friend, I'm the godfather to his daughter, to let me help him buy a home. And he wanted to go with somebody else. And I just looked at him and I go, do you think they care about you as much as I do? And he was like, no. And I go, well, then what makes you think that they're going to take care of you more than I'm going to take care of you? He's like, they're not. I was like, then just give me a chance. And he said, okay. So it was that ability for me to connect the dots for them to see like, hey, he actually cares. And I know that he is consistent and disciplined in what he does. And then bridging that connection so that they could see, okay, Sergio's the right guy. The other part about that is I had to use something I like to call the collective we. So I don't have any experience, but the team I'm on, well, we sell every single home and we help first-time home buyers get into their home faster, right? With less stress. So being a part of an organization, even if you're not on a team, if you're an individual agent, but you're in an office that has a bunch of individual agents that are high producers, use that collective we to support you as you're trying to move, because it's a true statement and it allows you to have some credibility when you don't feel like you have credibility yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. So once you started getting those, you know, the 7 months in, you started getting those deals, how did things kind of change for you after that as, you know, things started to progress and that you did start to, you know, get additional referrals from the people that you had been, you know, selling homes for, but, you know, your friend that you helped buy their home?
It's funny. The universe only gives you what you can handle. And so in my first year, I had 31 transactions. I won Rookie of the Year my first year, which was amazing. Stepping into year two, I was running at a pace that was unsustainable. And I think what happened was I ended up having a heart attack due to stress at 34 years old. And there's always going to be externals that are going to fuck with your head in this game. That's just the way it is. Death, divorce, kids, breakups, health, you name it. And so what I realized in that moment is like, I have to figure out a different way to do this. I have to figure out a way that is going to create some sustainability, some longevity. It's going to allow me to give to my clients at an elite level, but not sacrifice my soul for it. And so I took that moment to start to create some really healthy boundaries and systems and processes. And I realized that if I wanted to do this, I had to control what I could control. And from there on, every single year after, except for this year, my transactions have gone up and up and up, and my work has gone down, down, down. Like, I've worked less, but made more money. And so I think a big part of this is like, there's a grind in the beginning, but then you have to take a step back and realize I can't scale the grind. So I have to figure out how to scale the process.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously, you know, having a heart attack, that is a massive, like, life wake up type, like, you've got to change things. But I think, you know, for a lot of people that, you know, maybe it doesn't get to that point, but you also, your family life might suffer and, you know, things around you are suffering. How important is it to, like, really wake up and take stock of, you know, everything that's going on around you and not just be solely focused on the business success?
Yeah. I mean, so about 4 months after that heart attack, my wife and I called off our wedding. Right. So yeah, I had my health issues, but then I also have relationship issues. And I had to sit with that, you know, and these are two extreme cases. I get that, but it could be that you're just fighting with your spouse or your kids are like, mom, dad, you're always on the phone. And that hits you right in the gut, you know, in the heart. I think that at some point you have to take inventory and figure out, well, what do you want in this life? Because money will solve a lot of your problems, but it won't buy happiness. And without the people that matter the most, is this even worth it? And so I had to take a step back. And I would encourage almost every agent, no matter where you're at in the game, to do this regularly, whether that's annually or twice a year, and ask yourself, like, what do you want? What do you want in your health? What do you want in your spiritual arena? What do you want with your connection with your kids and your wife? And then how do you have a business to support that? Not the other way around. I think you have to take inventory. And the hardest part is you have to stop lying to yourself about like what's working and what's not.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's really important. You know, when you are, you know, almost setting your goals for the year is almost looking back at the previous year and like, what did you sacrifice to get to where you're at and see like, where's kind of the middle ground with things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's getting really clear on what it is that you want. When you start to ask people like, you know, if I was like, Michael, what do you want? Most people will tell you what they don't want. Well, I don't want to get divorced. You know, I don't want to work as much. Yeah. Yeah. I got that. But what do you want? Let's focus on that part. And a lot of times when we don't know what we want, we won't do the work that is required to get what we want because we don't have clarity on that part. So there is not just like this middle ground. There's this foundation you have to build upon that if you don't understand what you want, then whatever you're going after may not be what you actually want. And I've done that too. And that's blown my life up as well. And so I think it starts there with that foundational question.
Yeah. So as you're, you know, kind of you're asking yourself these questions, what are some of the, and I don't know if they're like exercises or things that you did to really kind of hone in on what is it that you truly want? Because I think, you know, if it's somebody that's maybe in my brokerage that's asking me like, what do you want? Well, I might answer in more of a, I want to be, you know, the top producer, where as if it's my wife or my kids, you know, I want to be able to spend more time with them. And those are two competing, you know, people asking you these questions. So how do you kind of take in all that information to be able to, you know, build out your roadmap?
I think you have to figure out what your values are. Yeah. You have to go through some type of value exercise to figure out like, well, what are your values? Are they family, work, and something else? And you're saying that your family is the most important thing, but work is actually the most important thing in this season of life. So I think there's this part of like, as you're kind of going through that, one, you have to figure out whatever your values are. And then two, you have to sit with yourself. Like what I found worked for me is two really big things. Creating silence and space for me to connect with myself and just listen. And I've done that a lot through meditation or running without headphones or being in nature. That works for me. All of those work for me. And then whatever comes from that, you have to figure out how to document that in some form or fashion. I like to put that down on paper and go through a series of questions to understand, well, this is what I want. What is the story that I'm telling myself? Is this story going to help perpetuate this forward, or is it actually constricting and not allowing me to get there? Do I need to rewrite the story? And then once I've gone through this whole thing, what are the actions I need to take out to go after what I want? And so there is this iteration of, you know, sitting with yourself to figure out what it wants, verbalizing it, documenting it, and then sitting with it again. And that can take some time. But I think it really all starts with some value alignment and then not being afraid to say that, hey, work it right now is more important to me than my family, because without work, I can't support my family. Or family is more important to me right now because of the season of life we're in. You just have to figure out where you're at and be honest with yourself about that and not try to fight it if it's different than what you think it is.
Right. As you kind of went through this journey yourself and you were able to kind of figure out, you know, where your balance was and what really your priorities were, how did that change your business?
There was this moment when it was Christmas time. And my parents told me, they go, we don't really recognize you anymore. Like you're in the room, but you're not in the room. Like you're here, but you're on your phone. And that's a hard pill to swallow. And so I'm sitting there figuring out, well, what are my priorities? Like, what is important to me? Like, all right, cool. I know that the business I build supports the family I want, but I also know that my parents don't have that much time left. They're older, right? And I just had a kid. So now I have a 1-year-old and a wife. And my friends. And so I sat in this space of being like, okay, I need to figure out what my priorities are so that the boundaries that I set for myself allow for both. See, you see, most agents don't have a time issue. Most people don't have a time issue. They have an attention problem. Mm-hmm. Like you need to master your attention. So the boundaries I've created for myself there's boundaries of when I'll pick up the phone for clients and when I won't. 8:30 to 6:30 PM. Text me at 6:31 about real estate. I'm not picking up. We'll talk the next day. I don't work at 9 PM. I don't work on Sundays. That's by design. And those boundaries allow me to take that extra time and then put them back into the things that I say are the most important to me. The connection with myself, the connection with my family and my friends and all of that. Those boundaries, that structure, that discipline creates freedom. I think Jocko said that. Discipline creates freedom. Mm-hmm. It's because you have this container that you've built that allows for growth and expansion. But within that container, you're mastering your attention to get the work done efficiently so you can free up time to either invest in your family or invest back into your business.
Yeah. When you are, you know, first meeting with clients and, you know, kind of going over, you know, your process and how, and just how things work, how important is it to be able to set those boundaries right out of the gate? So they know that they, you know, if they do text you at 8 o'clock at night, that they should not be expecting a reply right away.
I think the only reason clients get upset about that is when the expectations and the boundaries aren't set up front. That's the only reason that they're going to get upset. And so if you're trying to do it retroactively, of course, client be like, yeah, but you answered at 10. Why can't you answer at 10 now? So having that conversation up front and making it just part of your process, I always finish up my buyer's consultation or my listing consultation with that. I tell them, I go, listen, you know, my hours are 8:30 in the morning to 6:30 at night. You can text me anytime though. I just want you to realize that I won't respond unless it's within those hours. And I take Sunday off, which means we have to go see homes on Friday and Saturday.
Yeah.
And then I phrase it like, if we don't go see homes on Friday and Saturday, you might miss out on the homes because time is of the essence. And so it's all in the packaging and it's all in you being clear in what the boundaries are. If you're doing both of those, your clients are going to want to work with you because they hear this guy has a process. This guy is in control. He knows what he's doing and he's not just shooting from the hip. That makes them feel secure. Just like kids crave structure, so do clients.
Right. So when you started to implement that into your business and your conversations with clients, how did you see your client relationship change, you know, from when you were available all the time?
They responded really well. Yeah. And a lot of them would say the same thing. They're like, I'm glad you have boundaries. They would say those words. I'm glad you have boundaries. And they would also respect them. They wouldn't text me on Sundays. And they also understood that, right? Not only were we doing it for the benefit of me, but it was also for the benefit of them. Because I would ask them, I was like, do you guys want to make decisions at 8 o'clock at night after a long day's worth of work? They're like, not really. I was like, well, then let's not make $500,000 decisions when you're exhausted. And they loved that it, you know, when I reframed it that way and it was about them, they got it. So I think they were very responsive and they continue to be responsive. Now, there are clients that I've had, they're like, well, we need you on call all the time. I'm like, well, then I'm just not the right fit for you. Because I know what is that going to do? If I'm constantly on call with them, it's going to impact my other parts of my business. I'm going to have resentment in my business. That's going to carry into my home life. My wife and I are going to get into a fight, which that's going to come back into my business life. And now it's this vicious cycle of, well, how do we get into this shithole?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's really important also is to, you know, like you said, you know, that this maybe isn't the client for me, or I'm not the agent for you, is to understand when, you know what, this partnership isn't going to work, and know when to say this business isn't worth, you know, this transaction or me being part of this transaction is not worth my, you know, my happiness or my, you know, the rest of my business.
Yeah. And listen, real estate agents get paid a lot of money. Most agents get paid too much money for the amount of shitty work that they do. Right. So there is this part of like, when you are available, be available. And there's this part of the only reason I know these lessons is because I screwed them up so many times. So there's going to be parts of your business in the beginning where you're like, well, I'll work with anybody. And I think that you got to cut your teeth a little bit. I get that. Mm-hmm. But as you progress through your career, if you're not adapting, then you're going to be in this business way too long. Because this is a 10, maybe 12 year plan. I want to make enough money, help enough people and get out.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, when you are running around and burning the candle at both ends, you know, you're not present with your current client. So how is that going to help you in the long run with those referrals? If they're saying, yeah, you know, he was always there and always answered his phone, but he always kind of had his other ear on another call or another transaction going on. And that's just not helping the scalability of your business.
No, because people are going to remember how you make them feel. And the greatest gift you can give your client is simply to be here now, be present. And also, with you being present with them, you're able to pick up some nuances. Maybe they fell in love with the home and they didn't realize it, and you didn't catch it up in the showing. Or maybe they said something that's not going well when you're selling their home and you didn't pick up on it because you're on the phone. There's all these opportunities of feedback for you to make things better. But if you're constantly not present, you're going to miss out.
Yeah. I was watching one of your other videos earlier, and something that you said in it really kind of was interesting to me is that you said your relationship with your clients really starts after the closing or after the transaction. Tell me a little bit about that and how that has been a part of your business.
I think one of the biggest things that people do, right, real estate agents do, is they work really hard for their clients up until closing. They may check in 2 weeks after, and then it's just bye. And there's a stat that says 90% of people say that they loved working with their real estate agent, but only 10% of them actually work with them again. And that's a problem. So the way I look at this is I'm your real estate advisor for life. No different than your physician or your dentist or your financial advisor. That means on the impactful moments of your life, your birthday, your home anniversary, if you have a kid or you go on a vacation, I'm going to reach out in my own way, phone call, text message, video message, voice message, whatever. I'm also going to call you at least twice a year, one on your home anniversary to make sure that we do a real estate review and talk about how the value of your home has either gone up or down and the impact to you and what you can do with that additional equity. I'm also going to call you at 6 months because I just sent you cookies. I want to see if you like those cookies, right? And so like I'm constantly marketing to them and I'm always talking to them. And then I have my whole fall cycle that I do to make sure that when the new year's rolls around and people are starting to think about homes, I'm at the top of all my clients' minds. And part of this is business, and they know that I'm trying to get business. There's other parts of this that is simply just about them, and they know it's just about them. And so there's no shame in having this balance between both. And so when my clients, when we close on that home, take a vested interest in their life by following them on social media and watching the next chapters of their life play out. That's one of the most powerful parts about social media. So you can get a lot of information, and now you can create impactful moments simply by being aware.
Yeah, absolutely. I think just by checking in on social media every once in a while and kind of seeing those things, whether it's, you know, the family got a new dog or, you know, the son is, you know, on a sports team and had a great play or something, just something so small that if you can bring that up in a conversation or just even leave a little comment on there, you are always staying in, you know, top of mind, not just as the real estate agent, but as a friend also.
Yeah. And you know, you say stuff like, you know, I had this one client and we were talking and they said, you know, our daughter, she's sad to leave, you know, we're moving and she's so afraid, sad to leave her room because she had decorated with all those little stars. You know what I'm talking about? That glow in the dark. And so when they closed on their home, I got them like 1,000 of those stars for her room. Right. And that was simply through a conversation. Like that makes them feel special and feel heard. And I'm not doing it because I'm like, oh, they're going to send me more business. I'm doing it because like as a kid, I remember what it was like to move. It sucked. Yeah. And so I wanted to help alleviate some of that. And that makes their life easier. It makes her life easier. Those are the little things that you'll miss out on if you're not present.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell me just kind of transitioning and before we, you know, kind of wrap things up, tell me about, you know, what was it that made you want to get into coaching yourself and start giving back to the entrepreneur and real estate community?
Yeah. Being an entrepreneur is hard. Yeah. And the business aspect of it is really hard. You know, getting everything up and running, learning how to become the CEO of your business, it takes time, effort, dedication, stress, pain, sweat, tears. All the other cliche words that I could throw in there, we'll just throw those in there as well. What I've started to realize is that business is really hard when the other domains of your life are going to shit, when you're not taking care of your health and fitness, when your connection with yourself and your creator is not there, or when you're struggling with your significant other or your kids. When you have the stressors of those three domains, trying to be a good entrepreneur is damn near impossible. You can do it, but you're going to sacrifice all of the things that are going to allow you to climb that mountain. And when you get to the top, not be alone. Yeah. And so what I found is real estate agents are failing, not because they don't have the right tools, it's because the 6 inches of real estate between their ears, they can't get that shit together. And so I've had my struggles. I've gone through my moments of PTSD and my moments of being lost and my moments of finding myself and my moments of wanting to quit. And I have a responsibility at this point that if I don't take all those lessons that I've experienced and simply give back to a community of people that are struggling, especially in this market, then I'm doing it all a disservice and it happened for no reason.
Yeah.
And so I feel a distinct calling to simply go back to the people of where I was at 5 to 7 years ago, grab their hand and not push them to greatness, but pull it out of them. And so that's why I started to become the standard.
Awesome. Tell me, you know, you just mentioned they're struggling in this specific market. Tell me, you know, what kind of advice would you have for the agents that maybe got into the industry, you know, in that kind of post-COVID years when like everything was exploding and they're like, oh, there's so much money in this. And then things slowed down. And now all of a sudden you do have to really work for your clients. You really do have to put a lot of, you know, put the marketing back into the listings and they're struggling. And I don't know what, I mean, the stats are outrageous in some markets where 20% of agents are, you know, falling out of the industry. What advice do you have to, for people that really are struggling, but to, you know, keep kind of pushing through?
So I hear all of these agents that are falling out and all I hear is opportunity. So my business is down 45% year over year. That's a lot, right? That is a lot. And it's not that I'm not working. It's not that I'm not putting the time and effort in, but the amount of work that I'm putting in that I used to put in is not going to cut it. So I'm in this unique spot right now where I'm trying to figure out, okay, where do I need to ramp up and go? The advice that I would give to agents is you need to be consistent in the work that you do and be patient. You need to figure out how to make yourself the absolute best because at some point, this market is going to turn around. In most places, inventory is still absurdly low, which means the only factor that's stopping people from buying is one thing, interest rates. And they're not going to stay there forever. And also, it doesn't mean that people don't need to buy right now. If somebody's getting a divorce or if they just had a kid or they got a job somewhere else, there are still transactions. So instead of focusing on all of the people, focus on the people that are going through some type of transition, some type of pain point, and make them your focus. And then it's really just the consistent work, prospecting regularly, probably doing it more now than ever, social appointments, getting in front of people, being proactive about reaching out back to your clients and maybe doing a market analysis on their home to show them, hey, I know the new headlines say this, but I just want you to realize you have a great investment. Give them some security. Make them feel good about the investment they made. Like step out, reach out to them when you know there's nothing on the line for you right now. And then it's about doing this type of marketing where you're building your brand. So the internet, you have Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Facebook, all of it. Who do you want to be? Because in 12 months from now, there's a version of you that is either going to be a successful agent or it's just going to be another statistic of an agent who got out of the business. But if you can start to build your brand of why you are the expert, of the work that you're doing, of the value you're providing your clients, when the market does turn, hold on tight because you're going to have a shit ton of people giving you a phone call. And so now, right now, it's just, can you endure? Can you outlast everybody else?
Yeah, absolutely. I really do appreciate you taking the time to talk with us today. I mean, obviously, you know, just with your experience and your message, I feel like we could talk for hours, but where can people find your podcast and where to hear more of, you know, all of your great advice and tips?
Yeah. So you can follow me on Instagram or TikTok. It's Sergio.Nazzaro, Sergio.Nazzaro. So you can follow me on either one of those, or you can go to becomethestandard.live and sign up for my newsletter. It comes out every 2 weeks.
Awesome. I really do appreciate you taking the time to talk with us today.
Absolutely. I appreciate you having me on, man. That was great.
I really want to thank Sergio for joining us today and sharing his story. Remember, if you're interested in hearing more from Sergio, check out the episode description for a link to his Be the Standard newsletter and social media platforms. So once again, if you think you or someone else on your team has an incredible story or real estate tips to share with our community, send us a message at feedback@smartagents.com. Well, that wraps things up for this episode, but remember, follow the show wherever you listen to podcasts and make sure to subscribe to the Smart Agents YouTube channel. Again, I'm Michael Walter, and we'll see you on the next episode.